With LinkedIn Jobs, we tap into a network of more than a billion professionals to help you find quality professionals quickly and easily for any role you need. Marketing wizards? Found them.
Software engineers?
Found.
That project manager I could never seem to hire?
And found. LinkedIn Jobs quickly matches your roles with candidates with the right skills and experience. In fact, 86% of small businesses get a qualified candidate within 24 hours. Post your first job for free and get started at linkedin.com/decide. That's linkedin.com/decide. Terms and conditions apply.
Hell yeah, it is. Football Friday, Payne and Pendergast. 3:25 kick on Sunday between the Chargers and the Texans. You and Rick Camlo will be on the pregame. I'll be doing the postgame with Clint Sterner.
Be watching the red zone while we do the show.
Yeah.
Who's going to be more distracted by the red zone, Camlo or me?
You.
No, I don't. I do a pretty good job of not looking at the television.
Actually, no. It's what am I saying? I was doing that just to clown you more than anything.
Yeah.
It's Camlo for sure because he's got a jillion fantasy teams.
Yeah. I'm going to have to carry this show.
You are going to have to carry
this. I'm going to have to.
You got it in you?
I'll say, listen, Rick, that's all right. You keep up with your fantasy, and I'll just keep blathering on.
You did a hell of a job yesterday with Landry and Lopez.
Blathering?
Helping
Thank
carry.
You.
No. Oh. Helping carry those two guys. It's not easy to
those
do.
Two guys.
I'm just kidding. They're listening. I'm just joking. John and Landry are great.
So Lopez and Landry yesterday ended up doing 8 straight hours of radio. Because we didn't want Rick and Camlo to come in because they would have had to, stay off the roads. We're telling everybody to stay off the roads, obviously. And so we ended up just doing all the radio yesterday.
You did all the radio.
I did. It was Seth Sports Radio yesterday.
It was a
with
Seth-a-thon.
Various co-hosts along the way.
Yeah, Seth and friends.
So I got an hour. I got an hour break from 10 to 11, but Landry and Lopez did 8 straight hours. So when I jumped on with them at 11:15, actually.
You guys did, I thought was really cool that you did, was you reprised a lot of the old segments from some of the shows of the last 5 or 10 years.
I did a Meltdown. We did the Man Cards.
Yeah.
We did.
What was your favorite one to do? You did some All Due Respect. You did a little, did you do Life Doesn't Suck?
No, we didn't get the Life Doesn't Suck.
You did
we didn't do Screw-Ems either.
Did you do Damn Straight Advice?
We didn't do Damn Straight. We didn't get to any of those things. We actually started, we were worried, we were going to do
feel
it.
Like the triple threat got completely ignored.
We were going to do, well, what is it? We did With All Due Respect, right?
You did?
That was
yeah.
fun. I liked doing With All Due Respect. Yeah. That was kind of like Mad Takes. We didn't get to Mad Takes either. We thought it was going to be hard to do 8 straight hours of radio. So we were like, hey, we should just do a bunch of these old segments that are kind of really listener heavy. But between giving people updates on the weather and then actual football topics, we didn't end up getting to those.
I guess
segments.
Overall, that's a good thing.
Yeah, it was a
you
good
know,
thing.
That you didn't feel like you needed to lean on anything to get through the afternoon. I
exactly.
thought it was a really good idea. Speaking of talk radio, our sister station up in New York is WFAN. And their afternoon host is the long-tenured afternoon host, Mike Francesa, who has wound up being played audio-wise on this station a few times.
You know what?
Probably more than we get played on his station up in New York.
Mike Francesa is interesting because we did do a thing yesterday where we kind of stumbled into it where we talked about people who are legends but not that good. And a lot of times maybe they were that good back in the day. Mike Francesa is a legend. A lot of it's because he was one of the first talk radio, sports radio host in existence, and he did it in a huge market.
And that was the first all-sports station in
right.
the country.
But now, usually, he gets played a lot just as somebody to be clowned on.
Well, and because he has horrible takes.
Yeah.
This particular audio we're about to play, I want to play it for the audience, and I want to know from people, like, is it inbounds or out of bounds?
This is him talking to Pat Shurmur, the Giants head coach, who he had a weekly show with.
Right.
So this is what he's saying on his show that he does with Pat Shurmur.
Which, let me just lay the rest of the groundwork on that. Shurmur's not doing this hit with him anymore.
Yeah.
Like, yesterday was the last time they're going to do it for the time being, because the tone of it had gotten very contentious between Francesa and Shurmur, and that's what we're about to play. It had basically, the show, the segment, they did an interview segment, had basically just turned into Francesa ranting about the team while the head coach is on the phone with him. Here is an example of that.
I mean, I hate to say it, but you look like a terrible team. So you're not good at anything. I mean, so you got a really good running back, and you got a good kicker who missed a field goal yesterday. But other than that, you don't look very good at anything. You can't get the ball in the end zone, and you can't stop anybody. That's a hard combination.
Well, those are things that we got to work on as we move forward.
Is there a question there?
What would the conversation be like if that were an interview we did with Bill O'Brien?
I think Bill O'Brien would do the same thing. You're stuck in that position, I think, where all of a sudden you realize, and it's usually a pretty... you're doing a show together. It's the weekly Pat Shermer show. There's a certain level of respect there that it probably caught Pat Shermer off guard a little. Francesco was acting like he was with his old co-host, the Mad Dog.
Yeah.
Mad Dog Russo or something.
He's waiting, he's waiting for Shermer to go, I know, Michael.
I wonder,
that's a really good point, Michael. that's a great point about our offense and our defense, Michael.
I think maybe that's almost what he was thinking was, hey, I'm doing this show
with a buddy.
So I'm just going to go ahead and insult him a little bit and see what happens. Our boss will tell us sometimes, hey, always be thinking, would you say this to a person's face?
Mm.
And sometimes he would call me in and he'd say, Seth, you got to think, would you say this to this guy's face? In my mind, I'm thinking, of course I would.
Okay.
But then I'm wondering, like, am I an awful person?
That was my next question.
Of course
question.
I would say this to that person's face.
My next question was, what do you think of yourself when the answer is yes to that?
Like, am I a complete a-hole? No, I feel like I'm pretty blunt and honest when the situation requires it. Now, would I say it in front of a microphone to that person? No, because especially if I'm talking to another radio professional or TV professional and I talk to them like that, it's kind of accepted. Like, hey, we're going to have a back and forth
here.
And then we'll be fine afterwards. When you attack a coach like that in front of a microphone, puts the coach, you as a media member have an unfair advantage in that situation because the coach has to represent his organization and everything and can't really get into an argument with you. So it's not really fair to the coach to do that. And like, I don't think that was a fair position for Francesa to put Pat Shermer in.
I would argue too that I'm glad you brought up the say it to their face thing.
Yeah.
I think it needs to be pointed out that interview is a phoner.
Uh-huh.
It's not Shermer in studio. And I do wonder if Shermer's sitting from me to you, you and I are sitting 3 feet away from each other.
Yeah.
If Shermer was sitting to the left of Mike Francesa, would he be turning to him and saying, looking him in the eye, saying, you're bad at offense, you're bad at defense, your team stinks, all these things? He might. I don't know. Like, Francesa's at that age of immunity where
he
I don't really think
care.
He gives a rip what he says. But would most hosts do that? Like, I'm curious.
Maybe he got sick of, you know what? Maybe that show sucked and the ratings were awful. And he's just figured, well, we're going to end this thing right now.
Let her rip. Yeah, no, I'm curious, though. Like, play Jonesy, can you play it one more time? Don't play the Shermer. Can you play the Francesa one more time? I'm curious what listeners think when they hear this.
I mean, I hate to say it, but you look like a terrible team. You're not good at anything. I mean, so you know, you got a really good running back, and you got a good kicker who missed a field goal yesterday. But other than that, you don't look very good at anything. You can't get the ball in the end zone, and you can't stop anybody. That's a hard combination.
Well, those are things that we got to work on as we move forward.
Honestly, you're Pat Shermer. How are you supposed to respond to that?
I don't know.
You're horrible at everything. You don't look like good. You don't do anything well. I guess he'd have to respond with saying, like, well, we are doing these things well.
Yeah.
But it is. It's for a guy going on and doing a weekly show with him. Yeah, that's over the top.
Not getting paid either, by the way. Shermer actually explained this at his press conference with the media yesterday. They asked him about him canceling his weekly hit on WFAN.
Well, I think that was an organizational decision, not to do that. You know, and most people aren't aware of this, but I wasn't contractually obligated to do that spot, and we did it out of as a courtesy. And out of respect for our relationship with the radio station. And so we just felt like for a while here, we just, put that to bed for a while and just not do it and move forward.
I'm guessing that in New York today, the Giants are getting killed over this, over pulling Sherman. I'm guessing Francesa's approval rating is through the roof with fans because he was saying things that fans probably want to say to Shermer.
Yeah.
But
it's still over the top.
It's over the top. And in the moment, my guess is that fans were like, yeah, you go. I mean, it's New York, man.
That's
like,
true.
They,
yeah.
Like, they were probably, but here's the problem. You're not going to get Pat Shermer again. Like, whatever you were gleaning from that segment.
Right.
I hope you enjoyed that one moment that you had because whatever good stuff, and maybe, who knows?
But
Seth, I don't
like,
listen
is,
to it.
Is
maybe
Pat it's, Shermer a big draw?
That's
yeah.
my point. Maybe, yeah. maybe the hits, if the hits with Pat Shermer have been pretty nondescript, then maybe you're just going out in a blaze of glory and you don't care that you're not getting him
Well,
anymore.
This is the thing about Francesa, though, too, is Francesa believes that he has more influence than he does, except he probably does sometimes have a pretty big influence because so many New York sports fans listen to him every day. So could Francesa at least be the guy that pushes somebody over the edge in firing a coach? Could Francesa turn the entire city so far against Pat Shermer and the fan base against Pat Shermer that ends up being the dividing moment? I don't think so in this situation because this is the whole thing that was supposed to happen. Shermer came in. Shermer came in and was kind of, it did. Am I wrong? It felt like one of those situations, almost like with Kubiak and David Carr, where
he's waiting it out.
Part of the deal was, hey, you're going to do something with David Carr, right? And Kubiak has to say, sure.
And he did that with Eli, is what you're saying.
Yeah, and I think maybe that, different situations. One guy was at the beginning of his career, one guy was at the end.
Sure, but I think it's a good analogy that you draw there.
Like, are we going to give Shermer a hard time over the fact that Eli's been his quarterback
for
the last
year and a half? If Daniel Jones looks moderately competent as a rookie, then Shermer's going to be there for at least another year to see this thing through. And to answer your original question about the influence thing, and I think I can speak to this with some degree of experience because I listened to WFAN the first 5 or 6 years it was in existence. I grew up within an hour and a half of their transmitter. That I think that guys like that probably had a lot more influence before the proliferation of other outlets covering sports.
Yeah.
You know, like back when it was just the Post, the Daily News, and Mike and the Mad Dog on WFAN opining on all these things, that just proportionally they had a bigger slice of the opinion pie. Frances is still a very influential opinion there, but I think people, my guess is there's a lot of people that look at him like he's older now. He's got a lot of, he's some of the viral video that shows up of him, I don't think paints him in a really informed light also.
So if
he's our coworker, so I'm talking bad about our coworker.
Is he our coworker?
No, we both work for Entercom.
Oh, okay. Yeah. Along with 50,000 other people.
Yeah.
If there are a lot of fans in Houston that don't like Bill O'Brien as a football coach or don't think he should keep his job, whatever it might be. Do most of those fans, if we had Bill O'Brien on the phone and I spoke that bluntly to him, I feel like in Houston, even those fans would still say, hey, Seth, whoa, that's going too far, man. Like, you know, why would you insult a guy to his face like that?
I think there would be way more people with that opinion here than there would be in New York, but I guarantee you there would be a big faction of Texan fans that would be like, you go, Seth.
Yeah, yeah.
Well, I mean, O'Brien's popularity for a guy who went 11-5 last year is not in line with probably what most 11-5 coaches are.
Yeah, it's interesting because I get it when we see both sides of it, and there's never a 100% unanimous opinion about anything. But there are. It seems like I get a lot of feedback from people sometimes that when I get overly worked up about something, I hear from a lot of people that say, "Hey, Seth, I know what you're saying, but man, like that's pretty harsh." And I get it. I feel that way. I do agree with what my boss says for the most part. Even though we get pretty heated and emotional, lately, I've tried to remember, okay, if I were actually having a conversation with a person, what would I actually say to their face? And sometimes it's more than I think what my boss thinks, but still, I try to temper it.
Yeah, I think what you're capturing there, it's the difference between the ethos in the two cities, right?
Yeah.
Houston is a more laid-back, folksy, you know, there are people who would be cheering you doing that if it were you and Bill O'Brien talking, because there's a lot of people that are just impatient. I'm not saying impatient. There are a lot of people that are kind of getting to their wits' end of this team doing something prominent in the postseason, and which is absolutely their right to feel that way. When I say impatient, I don't mean they're being unreasonable at all, but there's people who feel that way. In New York, I think that stuff like what we just played, I think that's fuel in that marketplace. I think that fuels a lot more listeners than it would here. I think that's the difference in the personalities between the two cities. So,
T-Mobile has invested billions to light up America's largest 5G network, from big cities to small towns, including right here in yours. And great coverage is just the beginning. Right now, families and small businesses can save up to 20% versus AT&T and Verizon when they switch. Visit your local T-Mobile store today.
Plan savings with 3 lines of T-Mobile Essentials versus comparable available plans. Plan features and taxes and fees may vary.